preached this in Edgerton recently in connection with the inauguration, President Biden, dealing with how we look at that event and the growing sin in our government in the United States. Daniel chapter 6, we will read the whole chapter, and the text really will be the whole chapter too. Daniel 6, beginning at verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So far do we read the holy and inspired word of God. Many of our government leaders are sinful. They make sinful laws, and the sin is growing. Already back in 1973, abortion was legalized in this country. And in 2015, the Supreme Court ruled that states must recognize same-sex marriage. About 10 days ago, the House of Representatives passed the Equality Act. This was passed already back in 2017 by the House, but now that there's a new House seated, that act came before the House again for the new Congress, and they again passed the Equality Act. And the Equality Act outlaws discrimination based on race, religion, and sex. And now they include in that term sex, they include sexual orientation and gender identity. The result of this is that small businesses could get in lots of trouble for refusing to hire someone who is gay or transgender. This act also could certainly have an effect on what happens even in churches. There is no religious exemption with this act. Understand that this act has only been passed by the House, and for this Equality Act to become a law, it must also be passed by the Senate and then approved by the President. But being passed by the House is a huge step. So there have been sinful laws and decisions that have been made, even in the very recent past. And we now also have a president and a vice president that seem to promote sin more than any before them. President Biden and Vice President Harris both openly support abortion. President Biden has been called by numerous news outlets the most pro-LGBTQ president in history, and his executive orders that he has already made show himself to be very pro-LGBTQ. With a Democrat-controlled Senate, too, this Equality Act can very easily get to the floor of the Senate and very well might be passed by the Senate. And on top of all of this, many state governments are clearly willing to shut down churches and their activities while keeping many other things open and allowing people to do many other things. So we think upon all of that and the growing wickedness, we think, what will happen to us and our children? What will happen? Well, we know from God's word and from Daniel 6 that God will preserve us, his children, under any form of government, just as he preserved Daniel under the wicked government in Babylon. Daniel was a prince in Babylon. Babylon was a nation that was located to the east of Judah between the Tigris and Euphrates River. And they became a world power around 612 BC. In 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of Babylon, came into Jerusalem and took many people captive, defeated Judah, and took many people out of their homes and brought them to the land of Babylon. Now, one of the things that Nebuchadnezzar did in that process was he had his men gather the smartest young boys from Judah to work in his palace. And one of the boys that they gathered was Daniel. Those smart young boys were the boys that grew up in the palace. They were either from the royal line or they were children of the wise men who helped the king. So these boys got the best education. They were learned. And Daniel was one of them. Nebuchadnezzar took him back to Babylon, and he tried to make Daniel and the other boys Babylonians and bring them to worship the Babylonian gods. But by the power of God, Daniel never did. Now, God also gave Daniel a bright mind and great wisdom, and the king found him to be 10 times better than the wise men in his realm. So Daniel became a high position under Nebuchadnezzar in the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar died, though, and there were a few other kings after him that ruled Babylon and really were emperors of the world. But that world power, Babylon, was defeated by the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus was the king of the Medes and Persians, and he appointed Darius to be really the ruler of the province of Babylon, where Daniel was. King Darius appointed certain men to help him rule over this province of Babylon, and one of the men that he appointed was Daniel. Daniel was much older now, but was well-respected in that area. So Darius appointed godly Daniel to help him govern, but understand that Darius was a very wicked man, and the princes that helped him alongside Daniel were also very wicked men, and this was a wicked kingdom. We find in Revelation chapter 17, verse 5, that the anti-Christian kingdom was really typified by Babylon. Babylon was a type of the anti-Christian kingdom. Revelation 17 speaks of the anti-Christian kingdom and calls it Babylon. Babylon had a wicked government, and it was really a picture of all anti-Christian governments. But as we'll see today, it's a wonderful truth. God preserved Daniel under that wicked government. And that shows us that God too will preserve us under any form of government. He will be with us, his children. And that's wonderful. Let's see that further today under the theme, Daniel delivered from lions and enemies. Daniel delivered from lions and enemies. First, the wicked plot. Second, the godly response. And third, the wondrous deliverance. First, the wicked plot. To understand that wicked plot that was made against Daniel, know that Daniel was placed above all of the other rulers in the kingdom of Darius. Daniel 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over those three presidents, and over these, that is those 120, over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." So Darius appointed 120 princes over this province of Babylon. These princes, they had a specific work, and their work was to make sure the king had no damage. That's the end of verse 2. No damage. And that means no hurt. They were to make sure the king was not hurt financially by faithfully collecting the taxes. They were to make sure that the king's reputation was not hurt. They were to help him keep law and order so that he had a good reputation as a ruler. And over these 120 princes, Darius appointed three presidents. These three presidents were the ones who really watched over what the 120 princes did. 120 princes were to report to them. And Darius appointed Daniel to be the chief or to be the highest of those three presidents. So what it was like is that Darius was number one in that province and Daniel was number two. Daniel was placed above all the other rulers because God had given Daniel a great measure of the Holy Spirit. Daniel 6 verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the princes and or above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." That Daniel was preferred above the other presidents means that he distinguished himself above them. That's what the phrase means. In the original language, he distinguished himself above them. The work that he did separated himself from them. The way that he kept law and order, the way that he collected the taxes, the way that he dealt with the people set him apart. And he was distinguished from the others because he had an excellent spirit, verse 3 says. Now that word spirit is not capitalized in our King James Version translation, but that word does refer to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And verse 3 says he had an excellent spirit, meaning that he had a great measure of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working in him powerfully to glorify God in his work. He did not show jealousy towards Darius. But he was faithful towards Darius, honoring that one who had been put in authority over him. Daniel did not show hatred towards the other princes in an environment in which there was often hatred and jealousy between those princes, everyone vying for the higher position. Daniel didn't act like that. He showed love, seeking the good of others around him. He also showed love to the people at a time when rulers were often cruel. He dealt with them in a right way. Darius could tell that something different, there was something different about Daniel, that he had this excellent spirit and he set Daniel above the other presidents and princes. Now may the Holy Spirit strengthen us to live that way in the midst of a very wicked world. The men of the world today are no different than the Babylonians. Men seek themselves just like those princes did. Men seek themselves, are always looking for that higher position. Men will do whatever it takes to get on top, even if it means being cruel to others or talking badly about them. If that's what it takes, they'll do it. Promotion of self. So pray that the Holy Spirit would dwell in you richly, that you might live in a God-honoring way in the midst of a wicked world. Ask for strength, that you might live a life that shows honor towards those in authority over you, that shows honor to the boss, that shows honor even to the government that's over us, even when we don't agree with what they say. May we not be hateful and jealous towards others, either at school or at work, but may we love, seeking the good of those around us. And pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen you for Jesus' sake, the one who earned for us the gift of the Spirit by his work at the cross. Darius appointed Daniel as chief of the presidents. And the other presidents and princes responded by trying to get Daniel removed from his position. First, they tried to find him doing something that they could complain to King Darius about. Daniel 6 verse 4 says, "The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom." That means they were trying to find something in his work that he was not doing rightly, trying to find some weakness so they could tell Darius and cause Daniel to lose his position. They were jealous. They coveted Daniel's position. So they watched him. They watched him closely every day, observed his work, how he talked about Darius, how he dealt with the people, how he dealt with them. And in all of it, they could find nothing to accuse him of. When the world watches us, may they also find us doing what is right. May they find us in our speech showing that honor towards authority, honor to the boss, honor even to the government leaders that are in our land. May they find us doing what is right by the power of the Holy Spirit. After being unable to find fault with Daniel, these men came up with an evil plan to get Daniel into trouble with the king. Verse 5 says, "Then said these wise men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They could see that he was a godly man who worshiped Jehovah, and they believed that that worship of Jehovah would be the only area in which they could possibly bring some trouble to Daniel. So verses 6 through 8 show what they did. They went to Darius and said that all the presidents and princes of the kingdom wanted to make a decree or a law. And that decree or law was this, that no one may pray to anyone else besides Darius for the next 30 days. No one may pray to any god or any other man, only to Darius for 30 days. And if you did, you'd be thrown into the lion's den where you would be eaten and destroyed. And they proposed that law entirely with the intention of getting Daniel killed. They knew that Daniel prayed to his God, that he wasn't going to change, that he was faithful to Jehovah. They knew that this decree also would be appealing to Darius because Darius was proud. Darius would like it if people prayed to him regularly. So they would take this law to Darius. He wouldn't really suspect that they were trying to do anything to Daniel. They knew Darius liked Daniel, but he wouldn't suspect that they were trying to do anything evil to Daniel. And they could just get Darius to make this decree, and then it wouldn't be able to be changed. It would be a decree of the Medes and Persians. Their laws cannot be changed. It doesn't alter. Now, not sensing any of this evil plot, King Darius gladly signed the writing and the decree. If anyone prayed to anyone besides Darius for the next 30 days, they would be thrown into the lion's den and killed. Certainly was an evil plot of the devil as well. An evil plot by those men, yes. But the devil had an evil plot here too. The devil was using a wicked government to try to stomp out the worship of Jehovah in the empire. The devil wanted the Jews to forget about the worship of Jehovah. He wanted these Jews to forget about Jehovah so that they did not go back to the promise to the land of Canaan. So they never went back there, never rebuilt the temple, never went back to the place where it was promised that Jesus would be born. Satan was seeking to destroy the church. And it may very well be that the world comes up with evil plots against us in the near future too. And the devil certainly will be behind those plots. As we near the end, the world will come up with ways to say that the church member is bad for society, that he has to be removed. He's the problem. And as we get closer and closer to the end, the world will come up with more and more ways to say that the church is being intolerant and accuse the ministers or even church members of hate crimes, hate speech when they speak against certain sins. The devil wants the church to be afraid. The devil wants the church to be afraid and then renounce Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy the church. So there was an evil plot of these wicked men against Daniel and really an evil plot of the devil. And Daniel responded to this. Daniel's response was godly. Daniel responded by praying to God. Think of Daniel's position, though, here. Verse 10 indicates that Daniel knew Darius' law. If you prayed to anyone but Darius, you're thrown into the lions. Then he knew it. Daniel knew that God commanded him and everyone to pray to him alone, to pray to God alone. Daniel was also aware that if he did follow God's commands, those princes and presidents would be watching, waiting, ready to pounce. These men were jealous of Daniel, and he knew it. He knew they'd be watching. But what did Daniel do? Daniel prayed. Verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Daniel prayed in obedience to God. In 2 Chronicles 6, verses 36 through 39, Jehovah commanded his people that when they were taken into captivity, they hadn't been taken yet, but when they were taken into captivity, the people were to pray towards Jerusalem, pray to God towards Jerusalem, the place where God dwelled in a special way with his people in the Old Testament. So Daniel, in obedience to God, in obedience to God's word, prayed. Prayed facing towards Jerusalem 3 times a day. He obeyed God rather than men. And notice that in Daniel's prayer, he gave thanks to God. Look at verse 10. It says he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That's striking when you think about the difficult circumstance in which he was in. He thanked God. He thanked God for the promise of the Savior, the Messiah. Notice he prayed towards Jerusalem, verse 10. He prayed towards Jerusalem where the temple had been, where the sacrifices were made that pointed to the coming Messiah. Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem, thanking God for that promise of the Messiah, the Savior. Daniel thanked God for providing what he needed spiritually to fight against sin in a wicked kingdom. He thanked God for providing what he needed physically in his life. He thanked him, and he also made petitions. He thanked God and he made petitions too. We read in verse 11 that Daniel prayed and made supplication before his God. Supplication means he asked for help. In Daniel's prayer, he asked God to provide for all his needs, especially for strength to fight the temptation not to pray in the midst of great threats. Daniel didn't even try to hide his prayers. He prayed with his windows open. And the question comes to us, what would we do if we were placed in Daniel's position? And understand there are difficult times ahead for the church and for our children. Difficult times already now, but certainly difficult times ahead. It's easier, and it will be easier, to disregard God's commandments. It will be easier to say to yourself, well, it's just this once, and to make all kinds of justifications for not obeying God in the midst of those troublesome times. But may we obey God. And if the government or if a man tells us to do what is contrary to God's commands, may we obey God rather than man. What happened to Daniel because of this godly response? After moving Darius to make the decree, the princes and the presidents assembled. We read in verse 11, they assembled to catch Daniel. Catch Daniel in the act of praying to Jehovah. You can imagine them sneaking near to the open window of Daniel and maybe the courtyard of the palace, sneaking near to that open window and listening at morning, at noon, or at noon or in the early evening, listening for him to begin to pray. And they heard him, and they sent some of their men around back into the palace, and they went and busted into Daniel's room so they could find him praying there. And they saw him doing it, and they immediately took that their charge of disobedience to Darius. They went to Darius, and they right away told him, they said, Darius, in verse 12, hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king responded, the thing is true. And you can imagine those men hardly being able to wait to respond, and right away saying, well, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, or the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. And those men being happy, thinking to themselves, we got him. The king was distraught. Verse 14 says that the king was sore displeased with himself. This king enjoyed having Daniel around. He knew that Daniel was of much help to him, and now he had been foolish and led to make a law that, or he'd been led to make a law by men who were jealous of Daniel and just wanted his position. According to verse 14, Darius worked tirelessly the rest of the day to try to find a way to get Daniel out of this situation. Tried everything, but the princes and presidents came and they said, know, O king, that the law cannot be changed. This is a law of the Medes and Persians. It's verse 15. Darius saw that. So there was no other decree he could make that could somehow combat this other decree he had already made. Nothing he could do. So he called his servants and they took Daniel to the den of lions. He brought Daniel before the king first, and Darius said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will be with thee. Verse 16. And that phrase, he will be with thee, could be translated, may he deliver thee. Those servants took Daniel then to the den of lions, which was probably somewhere near the palace. And that den of lions was likely a cave in the side of a hill. It was a cave that had a door that could be sealed with a stone. And then on you could go above that cave. You could climb up that mountain a little ways, and there would be a hole that went down into that cave, and you could then drop food to the lions through that opening at the top. Well, the servants took Daniel towards that lion's den. They threw him into that lion's den, and they sealed the door shut. Threw him in to lions that they purposely kept ravenously hungry for an occasion like this, to rip apart someone that they deemed to deserve punishment. Daniel was punished by the government for his godly response to a wicked decree. And certainly, this kind of persecution will happen again to the church, even here. This will happen during the anti-Christian kingdom. We read in Revelation 13, verse 15, that at the end, as many as will not worship the beast should be killed. The one world anti-Christian government will seek to find anyone that is not worshiping the beast. And you can imagine how they will be able to find many that do not worship the beast. You look at the technology we already have today and how that technology will develop. They will be able to find those who do not worship the beast, and they will seek to destroy. Before that day, though, there will certainly be other wicked decrees made by the governments that believers will have to disobey in obedience to God. We can see the day coming where the government, wicked men, will not allow believers to worship God. We can see the day coming more and more when they will not allow preachers to speak against certain sins. There will be great punishment for that. We can see it coming. And the new government leaders seem to be hastening us towards that day. The church lives in the midst of enemies. Daniel lived in the midst of enemies. But God delivers and God preserves his church. God miraculously delivers and preserves his church. Jehovah God miraculously delivered Daniel from the lions. What happened after he was thrown in? Well, Darius went back to the palace in a state of gloom. At his order, no music was played in the palace that night. He didn't eat. He fasted. And as soon as morning came, he went to that den of lions with some of his servants, and he called out into that den through the opening at the top. He called out, "O Daniel, is God able to deliver thee from the lions?" And imagine the relief and amazement that swept over his face when he heard a voice call back, the voice of Daniel, that said, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." The king was overjoyed. The king commanded his men immediately to take Daniel up out of that den, probably through the top opening with a rope. And when Daniel got out, those servants and Darius, they examined Daniel to see what his body looked like. Was he mangled? Did he have bite marks? What happened to him? And when they looked upon him, there was no manner of hurt found on him. Those are the words of verse 23. No manner of hurt. There was not one bite mark, not one scratch mark. Daniel had been preserved from the lions. And this was a miraculous deliverance and preservation by God. By God. Even Darius acknowledges that in verse 27. Daniel says in verse 22, "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." This was truly miraculous. God shut the mouths of angry, ravenously hungry lions who could tear Daniel apart in a moment. God shut their mouths so that not even a bite mark was found on him. But God even did more than that. For you know that a lion is a brute beast. If that lion even pounced on Daniel, couldn't use his mouth, but just pounced on him, Daniel would be crushed. They could tear him apart with their paws, with their strength. But no manner of hurt was found upon Daniel. God made them calm, made those ravenously hungry, huge brute beasts calm like little pets so that they just walked around him. God delivered Daniel miraculously, and the greatest miracle, though, of all this, the greatest miracle was that God gave Daniel faith. He gave Daniel faith. Verse 23b. Says, "So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Believed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Remember, Hebrews 11 is a passage that speaks of the heroes of faith. And verse 33 is certainly speaking of Daniel, when it says, "Who through faith stopped the mouths of lions." Daniel certainly trusted in God here. Daniel, remember, was one who prayed towards Jerusalem, towards where the temple had been and the sacrifices were made. He prayed towards Jerusalem, trusting that God would send the Messiah to save him from his sins. Daniel was one who trusted in God, even as he faced the devil's temptations, even as the devil attacked him and those evil men attacked him, Daniel trusted in God to deliver him spiritually for Jesus' sake. Daniel trusted in God to deliver him as he faced those lions too. Daniel trusted in God to take care of him there in that lion's den. Think of Daniel in the bottom of that lion's den as he looks, and those green eyes, those dark, dark eyes of the lions are looking at him, peering at him in that lion's den. And as their bodies, their huge bodies, brush past him in the bottom of the den, and their tails whisk back and forth and hit him. Imagine that feeling in the bottom of that den. But Daniel trusted in God to take care of him there. Daniel didn't have faith, though, in his own strength. He didn't trust in God in his own strength. But God gave him that faith. God gave him that faith by his Holy Spirit. And God delivered him by giving him faith. God miraculously delivered him by giving him faith. Understand that God delivered him spiritually from the devil by giving Daniel faith so that he continued to trust in God and so continued to pray. God delivered Daniel from those evil enemies by faith so that Daniel continued to trust in God, didn't renounce Jehovah, but continued to pray to him. God gave him faith, and having that faith, Daniel prayed. God delivered him from the den of lions, from all these enemies, by faith. What a miraculous thing. God gave Daniel, sinner like you and me, gave him faith. And don't forget that by preserving Daniel, God was preserving all his people in Babylon. Daniel was the great protector of God's people in Babylon as one who had influence in the government. So God used him to take care of God's people in that land. And perhaps Daniel even wrote the decree of Cyrus that allowed the Jews to go back to the land of Canaan and to rebuild the temple. To go back to that land where the Savior was prophesied to be born. God was preserving his church here. That shows us again, Jehovah preserves his people under any form of government, for he sees his people in Christ his Son. God delivered Daniel wondrously. He does the same thing for us. Same thing. We face great enemies. We face the devil, that roaring lion, as he's called in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. The one whose dark eyes are upon us every day as he seeks to destroy us and his children and our children. Seeks to bring us into unrepentant sin and to keep us in that unrepentant sin and destroy us in it. That's what he wants to do. We also face evil men, and we'll face the anti-Christian kingdom someday. Remember that those evil men in Darius's kingdom, they were pictures of the men that will be around at the time of the anti-Christian kingdom, men who want to destroy the church. And as we get near to the end, these men will bring physical persecution. They will even kill. The promise of Daniel 6, that God delivers his people from these enemies. God is not promising in this chapter to deliver us New Testament believers from physical persecution and physical death. We know that, certainly as we look at the New Testament, you see that John the Baptist, for instance, was not delivered from physical death. He was killed by Herod. The apostles who preached the gospel, they weren't delivered from physical persecution and death. They were martyrs. So in this passage, God is not promising us deliverance from physical persecution and physical death, but he is promising deliverance from our enemies. Think about it. If we die at the hands of our enemies, where do we go? Go to heaven. And for the whole time we are on this earth, God promises to deliver us spiritually from these enemies. What God does is he delivers us by faith. God delivers us spiritually by giving us faith. When the roaring lion attacks the devil, when he attacks us and seeks to destroy us spiritually, God delivers us by giving us faith so that we continue to trust in God and continue to pray then as those who trust in God. When the government makes sinful laws and even threatens us, God gives us faith so that we do not renounce Jesus Christ. But having that faith, we continue to confess Christ's name. No matter what government is over us, we believers and our covenant believing children will be preserved. We will not renounce Jesus Christ, but we will trust in him and confess his name forever. That's a miracle. That's a miracle when you think about the persecution that comes upon the church and that will come. When you think about the threat of death because you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that you would never stand a moment in that situation if left to yourself. You'd give in. You'd say, no, I renounce it all. I'm done. But God gives us faith, and he preserves us all the way to the end. What a God we have. What a miracle that is. And in God, he delivered Daniel from the lions, but notice he also delivered Daniel from his enemies by having them thrown into the lion's den. Verse 24 says that the king commanded that these princes and presidents, they and their families and their wives, they be thrown into that den. And the end of verse 24 says that the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So when the men that had accused Daniel, those evil men, when they were thrown in, they were eaten up before they even touched the bottom of the den. The lions were leaping heavenward and tearing them apart before they reached the bottom. And the worst part of it was not that these men were thrown into a lion's den, but the worst part is that that lion's den was really the passageway to hell. For when they died, they went to hell, the place of everlasting torment and destruction. It was in that way that God delivered Daniel from these wicked men. And God will also punish all of our despisers one day too. All the despisers of the church. All those who persecute the church. And Satan too himself. All of these enemies of God will be judged by Christ and thrown into hell along with Satan. And they will no longer be able to attack the church. But remember, that would be us too, apart from Jesus Christ. That would be us. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for all of our sins. Paid for all the sins of believers so that we do not go to hell. But we have the right to eternal life in heaven. And on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done, he now gives to us faith, and he delivers us, and he preserves us by faith. So it's all because of Christ. Praise be to God for that marvelous deliverance, for Jesus Christ. And looking upon that wondrous deliverance, and that God takes care of us and takes care of our children, praise God today. Darius responded to this marvelous deliverance that he saw God give to Daniel by acknowledging Jehovah as God. He says in verse, towards the end, verse 26, he says about this God of Daniel that he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Notice Darius would not call Jehovah the only true God. He called him God, but wouldn't call him the only true God, and never did. May we not only acknowledge Jehovah as God, but seeing the miraculous deliverance that he gives to us and preservation, may we praise him. May we praise him. This is the God who delivers and preserves us and our children by faith. This is the God who's preserving us all the way to the end. No matter what government form we're under here on this earth, he preserves us all the way to the end so that we will live in the everlasting kingdom of heaven, perfectly praising him forever and ever, living in the land of perfection. What a God we have. How gracious He is to us. Let's praise Him today. Let's praise Him in song in a few moments. Let's praise Him throughout the whole week and the rest of our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we stand amazed at Thy deliverance that Thou dost give to us, Thy people, and that preservation that Thou dost give. We face difficult days ahead, and our children do too. We trust, we know that Thou art the God who preserves Thy people under any form of government. Oh God, may we praise Thee in response to this wonderful truth. Thou art worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.